listening to
John and Scott on AKC's
Total Talk Nonsense.
Easy, man. You're blowing the shit up.
When's Pauly B going to imitate that?
It's the heavy metal episode, John.
AKC's Total Talk Nonsense, episode 34, part 3, the heavy metal episode with John and Scott. I'm John.
I'm Scott.
You're back. We're primed, we're oiled up, we're greased, we're ready for action.
And John, we were talking about science news at the end of part two, so let me just finish up that really quickly, science news. And then we're going to get into, let's go back in the future. Then we're going to get into a top 10, John, a quick top 10.
Whose?
Similar to your news, John, girl monkeys like dolls. Boy monkeys like toy cars. Given the choice in an experiment, some male monkeys moved a toy car along the ground while female monkeys closely inspected a doll's bottom. Males also played with balls.
What did the monkey balls sound like when he was playing with his balls?
Disassemble. That means not tell the truth.
While females fancied cooking pots. Researchers' conclusion? The behavioral split between males and females predates the split between humans and monkeys, John. Of course, they're talking about evolution. So if we were talking about intelligent design, we'd say that God made this so, not evolution.
Would the W say that God
is a drag?
No, no way, not at all. He's a born again, man. He's a born again.
And that's positive. That's a positive development.
It is.
Right.
Shrinks are debating whether to classify extreme bigotry as a mental illness. So Tony P might be extremely mental ill. Arguments in favor.
TP.
One, it makes some people unable to function socially or hold down a job. The criteria we already use for depression and other mental illnesses, John. Number two, antipsychotic drugs, which Tom Cruise would not be a fan of.
And that's nothing new.
Have relieved extreme bigotry among prisoner inmates. Did you know that? I didn't know that.
No, I didn't know that.
Arguments against, number one, it will become a legal defense in hate crimes. Hey, he's got a mental illness to hate. Kikes.
He's nuts.
Number two, it will excuse everyone because we're all somewhat biased, John.
And we'll probably bring Dr. Phil in there.
Are we all somewhat biased?
Are you nuts?
And
do
number
you
three,
realize that this is a big problem?
And number three, it will make medicine another weapon of political correctness. And that's what we need, John.
Do you torture small animals?
I do. And the last science story, John. Head over heels? Alas, it won't last.
No.
This is out of Rome.
Bullshit.
Oh, wow. Why is Arnold yelling at us?
I don't know. He's upset.
Negative.
Your heartbeat accelerates. You have butterflies in the stomach. You feel euphoric and a bit silly. It's all part of passionately falling in love. And scientists now tell us the feeling won't last more than a year, John.
Why is that?
The powerful emotions that boil over new lovers are triggered by a molecule known as the nerve growth factor. That's NGF to you and me, John.
Really?
Yes. The Italian scientists found far higher levels of NGF in the blood of 58 people who had recently fallen madly in love than in that of a group of singles and people in long-term relationships. After a year with the same lover, John, the quantity of the love molecule in the blood had fallen to the same level as the other groups.
Me off.
The Italian researchers publishing their study in the Journal of, this is a big word, stay with me, Psychoneuroendocrinology.
Buddy!
Said it was not clear how falling in love triggers higher levels of NGF, but the molecule clearly has an important role in the social chemistry between people at the start of a relationship.
Huh.
And John, I'll go on to say that this molecule clouds the people's brains to make irrational decisions. And that's why we have a 50% divorce rate.
Wow. You think so?
All right, John, we're done with science news. I just wanted to get into a quick top 10 that I pulled off the internet.
Mike Donnelly, is Scott there?
And what attracted to me this top 10 is that it's about a drummers, and you are a drummer, John. And I myself...
No.
Yeah, no, you were.
No.
No, really. And I myself was once a drummer, if you can
no,
remember.
No, dude, my name is...
Spider Rico.
This is the top 10 greatest studio recordings by a drummer of all time. All right, are you ready? And yeah. This is from DigitalDreamDoor.com.
Sorry about that.
My brain just came out my nose. But I can continue.
I feel bad for people that are wearing earbuds and that goes on. They just shit themselves while they're jogging.
I'm going to start with number one.
Have Tom on his bike. He'd probably steer off the road. Go ahead.
Number one, Moby Dick, John Bonham, Led Zeppelin. Number two, Toad by Ginger Baker and Cream. Number three, Ticks and Leeches by Danny Carey of Tool. I'm not familiar with Ticks and Leeches. Are you, John?
Yeah.
Number four, 21st Century Schizoid Man by Michael Giles and King Crimson. Number five, La Via Stragadio.
Wait a minute. Michael Giles on drums? I thought...
Of King Crimson?
Yeah.
Michael Giles.
Vinny Appice. No, that was a deal.
There you go.
I'm thinking Carmen Appice. I thought he played drums in King Crimson.
I can only...
Was that King Diamond?
State what I've cut and paste off the internets, John. I have not vetted this, but it says Michael Giles of King Crimson.
Crimson?
21st Century Schizoid Man.
Nice.
La Via Stragiato.
Strangiato from Neil Peart.
Strangiato, Neil Peart Rush. Erotomania. Mike Portnoy of Dream Theater.
Yeah, Portnoy, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Cobwebs and Strange, Keith Moon, The Who.
No, give me a break.
Tarkus by Carl Palmer, ELP. Number nine, John. Hot for Teacher, Alex Van Halen.
Oh, my God.
Number nine, Hot for Teacher. Let me repeat that for all our fans. Alex Van Halen of Van Halen.
You wrote that in there.
I didn't. And number 10, Cart of the Sunrise, Bill Bruford of Yes. And there you go. The top 10 greatest drum studio recordings of all time, as by DigitalDreamDoor.com.
Yeah, well, they're wrong.
So go check that out. All right, so John, you're going to have to come up with your top 10 and post it on our forum. And maybe comment on that.
Nobody
in a future
will know
podcast.
My top 10.
I will.
You won't.
I'll go out and research. I can research, John.
You'll hear it, and you can A-B any of my top 10 against that top 10, and you'd be like, whoa.
Okay, let's both.
This guy is fucking way better than...
I've already finished my top 10 doables, which you need to get to, all right?
I don't understand why I would even want to do that.
Okay, so you're not going to participate?
I'll try, but it's hard for me.
It is? No pun intended?
Well, could I, like, add people, like, that were, you know, at the grocery store?
Sure. Why not? People at the grocery store. Because they're more doable than somebody who's dead, I would think. You got a better chance with them than with somebody who has died.
Badger Man.
Okay, so we're also going to come up with our top 10 drumming performances in the studio, because live is a whole different segment.
Yeah.
So in the studio, our top 10 drumming performances live.
Piece of cake.
From John and Scott. Okay, that'll be next podcast.
Yep.
All right then, John. You had some Christmas news.
Yeah,
some holiday cheer.
Christmas, when are we exchanging gifts, AKC? Because we are a band, you know.
Oh, so AKC and... Oh, AKC, not... Not
yeah,
podcast. Well, I was thinking, okay, I got to bring in a gift for podcasting
and
for... No, that's not going to happen. I'm ready to go.
Oh, what an ass.
And we talked last practice, we said, because we are a band, and we did practice.
We said Tuesday.
Did we say Tuesday?
And we're not going to meet
together
Tuesday.
We don't practice on Tuesday. No, we said Thursday.
Oh, okay.
See, because they both start with T. That's probably what confused you.
Well,
Thursday.
I was reading something. Leary upsets Catholics. You know, Dennis Leary, the comedian Dennis Leary.
I know of him. Yes.
He has upset Catholic groups after mocking Christmas during his TV special, Dennis Leary's Merry Fucking Christmas. The Rescue Me star, 48, jokes about lesbian nuns, the origins of Christmas, and signs a song and signs and sings a song by Our Lady of Perpetual Suffering Church Choir about a prostitute.
Did he sing it in a dinghy basement?
In a dinghy basement? I don't know. Got to check that out, though. In one segment, Leary says, "Tonight we celebrate the birth of the baby Jesus, whose mom, Mary, just happens to be a virgin, even after she apparently gave birth to Jesus. At least that is what the Catholic Church would have you believe." Tom Cruise is taking a lot of shit for belonging to a religion, Scientology, that believes aliens came from this planet 75 million years ago. That's nothing. "I was raised Catholic. We believe Mary was a virgin and Jesus ended up walking on water, creating a bottomless jug of wine and rising from the dead." After hearing Leary's jokes, Bill Donahue, president of the Catholic League for Religious Ad Civil Rights, fumes. "Hate speech dressed in humor's garb is still hate speech. Leary is obviously bedeviled by some disorder, but nothing excuses this crap."
Well, yeah, and if he is bedeviled by this, then it's something he's going to have to deal with his personal relationship with God.
Right.
So back the fuck off, Bill Donahue. He's just trying to make some of us laugh, you
right.
cocksucker,
right.
which you're incapable of. Because if you are that strict a goddamn Catholic, what do you find funny, John? What's funny? Nothing can be funny.
You fucking dick!
I don't know.
Nothing is funny.
Nothing.
We need to get a Catholic in here to tell us what the fuck is funny. Because nothing can be funny if you're Catholic.
Well, Donahue's colleague and Catholic League spokesman, Kira McCaffrey, adds, "Going after the Blessed Mother is the kind of thing that really gets our backs up." I don't understand what that means, but... And defense, Tony Fox from the Comedy Central TV channel says, "Well, Comedy Central is an adult network, and we think Dennis Leary has a right to speak freely about what he thinks is funny."
Fucking A right.
We don't cave to pressure, and we're not pulling the show off the air.
The right to speak freely. But no, these Catholics would want to take that right away.
Put two of them up your ass.
And I wonder what else they'd want to do. Would they want to be like Hitler and like gas all the Jews too? Which the Iranian presence says is a myth. Did you know that, John?
Really?
Yeah, and I don't understand why he says that. On one hand, he says...
Because he doesn't like the Jews.
That's fine. He doesn't like the Jews. And I don't know why people come down on the Jews. Because it's Christmas, John, right? And this
right.
is when Jesus was born. But in Easter, that's when they strung him up, right? But if
yeah.
it weren't for the Jews and the Romans, and I don't even know why the Jews get blamed for this, but the Jews get blamed and the Romans get blamed for stringing him up and making putting him on the cross. But John, if they never had done that... then there wouldn't be Christianity
right.
and Catholics and whatever the hell you want to call yourself. It wouldn't even have happened. So why did they come down
wait a minute.
On
you're
the Jews?
You're saying it did happen.
Well, according to Christians and
I
Catholics.
I don't think it happened.
So they're saying that this did happen and they blame the Jews, right?
Yeah.
And that's why there's all this persecution against the Jews.
You got to read some books by Elaine Pagels. And I know you have one of them. I believe you have... The Origins of Satan.
Yes, I
don't
do.
You?
I have that one, yes. Mm-hmm.
That one explains why they where Satan comes from. And they're demonizing the Jews and the...
But why?
And they're talking about the Orthodox kind of Jews. And they're talking about the Romans at the same time. Because they can't just come out and say the Jews are fucked. And they can't say that the Romans are fucked.
What do they got against the Jews? What is the bottom line?
Because in that time, the Christianity was a big rebellion. It was another Jewish movement, but it was a rebellion against the Jews that were tight with the Romans. They
okay.
were corrupt.
I see.
Like, it was politics, basically.
Politics, all right.
The movement was rebellion. They were just totally rebelling against it. It was a new Jewish movement. And the Catholics took it over. Well, not the Catholics. The Romans took it over. And they got all nervous about it, and they decided to create the Nicene Creed and all this stuff as a coercion. They put together the four Gospels that all would influence people and tell them to follow the rules this way. And because they didn't want people just going out on their own and practicing religion. You know, it was becoming a threat to the Roman Empire.
Right.
So they embraced it, they endorsed it, and here comes Catholicism. Here comes the New Testament.
All right, then. I just don't know why the Jews, through history, are shat on. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, of course, it's all propaganda after that. In the beginning, it was just a movement to rebel and distance themselves from the Orthodox Jewish religion and say, look, I don't want to have to snip the end of my penis to make sure I'm a Jew. We should be able to practice this religion regardless if we're Hebrews or not.
Personal question, John.
Yeah.
Has any of your penis been snipped?
Yes.
Yes, mine too.
I did it yesterday.
Yeah, no doubt.
Hurt like hell.
You should have had me there.
Why is that? You just would have bit it off?
Because I'm a certified moil. And the procedure is snip it, and then I have to suck the blood off it. You know, that's how it works.
So you don't, like, work for any commission. You just work for tips?
Right. That's funny, John.
It's like calamari.
Oh, that
it?
Reminds me. Don't we have somebody waiting outside?
Wait, was he still out there?
I don't know. No, I haven't heard the doorbell in a while.
I haven't either.
He was ringing the doorbell in part one, part two. Oh. Hold on, let me go get that.
All right.
Are you ready for me to go get that?
All right.
Yeah, I'll go get it. All right,
man. I'm almost there.
Get to it already.
It's a long walk. All right. Hey, man.
Roar, roar, roar.
Hold on.
He's not at the mic yet, right?
Yeah, we gotta walk back to from the door before he gets the mic. All right, I'm coming back. I'm back. Here, let me put my headphones on.
All right,
man, Phil. You all set? All right. Goddamn, calm down.
Relax, brother. Holy shit.
I think it's because he's shivering from being out in the cold.
Well, I was waiting outside for like 4 hours. I'm thankful that somebody finally let me in.
And because we are podcasting from a secret location studio, I didn't want to cause too much disturbance.
Somebody's fucking with the bell, man.
Because I know, John, that you have children.
Did you leave somebody outside?
No, I did not. And I don't believe I have any stalkers yet, so if anybody wants
John,
to...
I'm fixing to fuck you in the ass.
Well, I was going to go on with a little bit of ancient holiday history. But...
Well, I'll just sit and wait then, John, for you to finish. But I'm ready to, whatever you guys are, to deliver the news. Oh, and there's something else that I need to do as well.
Okay.
But I'll let you introduce that, because you are the host, and I'm just the newsman.
Well, just quickly, last night, everybody was saying, raising their glasses and saying Merry Christmas and to everybody and blah, blah, blah. I said, Yo Saturnalia.
Saturnalia.
In Rome, where winters were not as harsh as those in the north, Saturnalia, a holiday in honor of Saturn, the god of agriculture, was celebrated. Beginning in the week leading up to the winter solstice and continuing for a full month, Saturnalia was a hedonistic time. What? What are you laughing at?
It's better the second time you hear
it,
John.
Oh, did I read this before?
No, not at all.
Well,
I think it was
actually, I'm segueing into something.
All right.
Ass.
We'll move into this
Shut
something
up.
Then.
Fucker.
Move into the something.
Well, also around the time of the winter solstice, Scott.
Yes, John.
Romans observed Juvenalia, a feast honoring the children of Rome. In addition, members of the upper classes often celebrated the birthday of Mithra, the god of the unconquerable sun, on December 25th. How ironic. It was believed that Mithra, an infant god, was born of a rock. For some Romans, Mithra's birthday was the most sacred day of the year. I didn't read this last time, so shut up.
No, this is new.
In the early years of Christianity, Easter was the main holiday. The birth of Jesus was not celebrated. in the early years of Christian. Did you hear that,
people? I heard that. That's astounding, John.
This is off of the History Channel website, okay?
Okay.
In the 4th century, church officials decided to institute the birth of Jesus as a holiday. In the 4th century, 400 years after the supposed... Shut up, Phil, you dick.
Settle down, Phil.
Unfortunately, the Bible does not mention date for his birth. Now, I just want to say another thing about those... Did I talk about the Outlaw of Christmas?
No, you did not.
In the early 17th century, a wave of religious reform changed the way Christmas was celebrated in Europe.
I saw that. That was a claymation when Santa Claus coming to town with the Burgermeister, Meisterburger.
Right.
And he outlawed Christmas, right. And he outlawed toys to the kids.
Well, the pilgrims, the English separatists that came to America in 1620 were even more orthodox in their Puritan beliefs than Cromwell. Cromwell was a Puritan in England. And as a result, Christmas was not a holiday in early America. From 1659 to 1681, the celebration of Christmas was actually outlawed in Boston. Anyone exhibiting the Christmas spirit was fined 5 shillings. Did you know that, Scott?
I wonder what exhibiting Christmas spirit meant, you know? Like you whip it out and you got like a mistletoe wrapped around your schwanz. That's 5 shillings.
After the American Revolution, English customs fell out of favor, including Christmas. In fact, Congress was in session on December 25th, 1789, the first Christmas under America's new Constitution, proving that we were founded on secular beliefs.
Secular.
Secular.
John, not Christian.
That's right.
The way it is now with the W, secular.
Now, there's no doubt that they recognize Christianity, but they knew that that influence on everybody would just be, would fuck
disastrous.
Everything up.
Disastrous. Like it is now with the W.
So, actually, it was not declared a federal holiday until June 26th, 1870.
Wow. That's hot.
That's enough for me.
All right, then.
You can get on to your shit.
I don't
know. I know
shit.
You love to talk.
No, because we got clips. We
okay,
got clips
we got
from.
Clits.
Now, this is clips from Britt Hume interviewing the W.
Here we go.
I want to ask you about some of the people around you and your relationship with them and how they stand with you.
Sure.
Secretary Rumsfeld, how does
oh,
he stand
nice
with you?
Oh, nice edit.
Good. He's done a heck of a job. He has conducted 2 wars. And is and at the same time has helped transform our military from a military that was constructed for the post-Cold War to one that is going to be constructed to fight terrorism.
Is he here to stay as far as you're concerned to
yes.
the end of your term?
Well, end of my term is a long time, but I
tell you,
he's done a heck of a good job. I have no intention of changing.
No, he just... there's edits, man. You can hear it.
Yeah, you can hear the edits. And the thing about this is we're going to play some clips from this Fox interview with George W. because he's got to catapult the propaganda. So if you got to do that, who do you go to? You go to Fox Network, the Goebbels Network, as John has so eloquently pointed
That's
out.
That's right, Joseph Goebbels Network.
So you know the
and
whole
Novak
goddamn
is
thing is scripted. You
yeah.
know it's scripted. But not only that, the guy can't get through his script, so they have to edit stuff out.
Yeah.
And listen to this monkey jibber-jabber through some of these questions.
Democrats say that there is a culture of corruption among Republicans in Congress. Now, we've had the delay indictment, part of which has since been dismissed. You got this Abramoff investigation going on up there, and whatever the outcome, it doesn't look very pretty. And then you have the Duke Cunningham case, with which I know you're familiar, and we now have seen some of the details of that case. They're quite striking. Rugs and goodies of all kinds, and large sums of money. What about that allegation that there's a culture of corruption on Capitol Hill among Republicans? What do you feel about that?
Well, first of all, I feel Duke Cunningham's wrong and should be punished for what he did. I think anybody who does what he did should be punished, Republican or Democrat. Secondly, the Abramoff. I'm not frankly not all that familiar with a lot that's going on up there in Capitol Hill, but it seems like to me that he was that he was giving money to political parties. It's really important for all of us in public life to have the highest of ethics, so that we can earn the trust of the American people.
stop that fucking thing right now. This guy is saying that it's important that we all have the highest of ethics, and he doesn't even know what the fucking word means, John. He has no ethics whatsoever.
He knows what disassemble means.
Disassemble? That means not tell the truth?
Does he have to yell at me?
I'm sorry. He knows how to fly a plane, too.
And I apologize.
And I saw an airplane hit the tower. I used to fly myself, and I said, well, there's one terrible pilot.
I apologize for Britt Hume. Can that guy ask the longest question in the history of the world?
Don't apologize for Britt
Hume. Jesus Christ.
He's another one of those
I'm apologizing to our fans that they have to listen to this cocksucker.
He's Britt Goebbels.
Just ask the damn question, Britt Hume.
I'm Britt Hume.
I'm Britt Goebbels.
Dickhead. Whatever you're ready. Cue up the next one.
All right.
You listen to more of this.
Do you
chimp.
Hope and expect that Tom DeLay will return to be majority leader?
Yes. Oh, do you? I don't know whether I can expect that. I hope that he will.
Why?
Because I like him, and plus,
because I like
over
him.
There, we get our votes through the House. We had a remarkable success of legislative victories.
Wah!
Remarkable string of legislative victories.
I can't do a monkey really good.
You know, cut the taxes. This is yielding strong economic growth and vitality. We've had an energy bill that began to put America on its way to independence. I say began. There's a lot more work to be done there.
What the fuck is he talking about? We've been independent since 1776.
Right.
And this guy was a history
major.
Well,
actually 1812.
Whatever. So anyway... You got, let's talk about Karl Rove, right? You got the Karl Rove investigation for this Valerie Plame leak, right? But every time the W's ask a question, no, I can't comment on that. That's an ongoing investigation.
Yeah.
But you got the delay. Oh, he can comment
right.
on that.
He knows he's going to get off.
Right. He knows he's going to get off. He said, oh, yeah, he's going to get it. Well, wait a minute. And then he had to, like, backpedal.
Right.
Oh, well, I hope he gets off.
I think
I'm going to assume that he gets off.
He's getting off because he's got the goods on the W.
He's got the goods on the W, and they're going to patch
I'm
over.
I'm not going down. You're getting me out of this shit.
Well, yeah,
man.
If I'm going down, you're going down.
That's right.
So fix it, you fuckhead. And the W is like being all chimp about it, and he's going to fix it. It's goddamn ridiculous, John.
Re-goddamn-diculous.
That's what I said, isn't it? Re-goddamn-diculous, John.
Goddamn ridiculous.
No doubt. Anytime you're ready to play the next fucking
clip. Here we
and
go.
If you need to pause.
Evident decision.
No, Britt Hume.
After the election to... try to be above the political fray. You came under withering attack.
Listen to this asshole. Withering attack. Just ask the question, you cunt.
On the Iraq policy itself. And the response in the administration was remarkably passive for a long time.
Remarkably.
Softball.
You
know, softball.
Just came off an election, and we're trying to elevate the debate and put politics behind and see if that couldn't happen. It didn't happen. But I've always felt like one of my jobs is to try to change the tone in Washington, D.C., to bring people together for the common good. I confess to my ability, I've resisted dragging the presidency in the name-calling and the finger-pointing and the blaming.
And the monkey jumping.
No, you're right. And we took a paste, you know, a blasting. And it began recently to... make the case in a more forceful way to the American people. First of all, rejecting this notion that, you know, we lied about intelligence. Reminding people that some of those people making those accusations looked at the same intelligence I looked at.
Oh, you
and
liar.
To send, for the use of force in Iraq.
And what a crock of shit.
And this is where they spin it, too, because the vote that they voted on was to give him the power, was to give him the authority to declare war. So that meant, okay, we're going to give him the authority because everybody knows that now since the Tonkin, whatever that was, that whole thing that happened where we went to war in Vietnam, they changed it so that you have to actually, Congress has to vote and give the president the authority. He always had it before.
Mm-hmm.
Now they have to vote to give him the authority. So everybody knows. So once you do that, that should scare everybody into thinking, okay, now they're serious about this shit. They had a lot of those politicians had no idea that the president was going to actually execute this. So when they did not have the same intelligence. He's lying.
Well, right and there. He was the one who filtered that intelligence. And he pushed out what he didn't want to hear, and he brought in what he did want to hear, and then he presented to everybody.
And he presented it like he said, and there's several occasions where he said it, Condoleezza Rice said it. They said, we don't want to wait till the smoking gun comes in the form of a mushroom cloud. It's how they present
right.
that what a information.
Bunch of shit. Well, the thing that disturbs me about that clip is his one of his jobs that he thinks his job is to change the tone in Washington. I don't even know what the fuck that means,
yeah.
John.
Yeah.
But just do your goddamn job right. and protect the Constitution and provide security and make sure that you don't put American soldiers in harm's yeah. way for bullshit,
quit
for profit.
Raping. Quit raping the Constitution.
What a cocksucker. And We're, then the, when he talks about name-calling and finger-pointing, the Republicans are infamous for name-calling yeah. and finger-pointing. But he's going to push it back on us, John and Scott of Total Talk Nonsense.
Well, we're on his list, you know. He's probably wiretapped
all
our
right,
shows.
His list, no doubt. And we'll get to that later, John.
Well, we're at 30 now, Scott.
All right.
We got to move along.
So what are you saying?
We got to move along to the next segment.
How many? We got to get to more clips. There's, and then the, he was about to say pansy. Pansy, I think. But he changed it up. And we'll clip that out for the next show, because that's pretty goddamn funny.
You took a question the other day about Iraqi casualties.
Yeah.
And you used the number 30,000.
Oh, this is great. This is a good question.
First of all, why did you decide to take those questions after you'd made a speech, which presumably you were talking about the news of the day? And the second thing is, where'd you get the number 30,000?
First, it was, I thought about the morning of the trip. I thought it'd be kind of... an interesting diversion in a sense. In other words, people expect one thing, and sometimes to do the unexpected in the public arena helps draw attention to a speech that I can't say it would have been ignored, but sometimes it's hard for me to burn through the filter. Secondly, that was a number that's been floating around the public. You know, there was a number that was in the press.
Oh, that's a great idea. It's floating around, so we'll use that.
Iraqis, I must tell you that it's speculative. I don't think anybody knows the exact number.
So why'd you say it?
What's important for the American people to know is that, one, that's that
what?
Our mission
Spit
in
it
Iraq
out.
Is to target the guilty.
So 30,000 guilty.
Right, right. But here's the thing. When he talks about 30, the most fascinating thing to me was when he talks about this number, 30,000 Iraqi casualties. The guy fucking laughs.
Yeah, right.
He laughs. It's funny to the chimp.
Yeah, we blew up little kids.
That 30,000 Iraqis are dead.
Yeah.
What a cocksucker.
Now tell me could you imagine if 30,000 of our people just got blown away because somebody thought, hey, you know what, the U.S. is a bunch of terrorists, so we're going to just start bombing, you know, all kinds of places using this phosphorus
right.
stuff.
Let's get the W out.
And our kids are all getting killed and stuff. Don't you think we'd get really pissed off and start our own little terror group? Now, I'm not advocating,
pissed.
But I'm just saying that when you poke a stick at a beehive long enough, you're going to get stung.
Right.
And that's what's going to happen to us again. So you can't justify the wiretapping and all that stuff because we got to be a free country, right? But on the other hand, they want to come up with a way to protect us from that from that kind of stuff. But on the other hand, again, you can't be...
That's too many hands, man. I only have two hands.
Well, it is. It's just like Syriana. It's very confusing.
It is confusing.
They've muddled it. They make it chaotic so they can control it.
But the other thing about this clip is, why did you say this? Well, I wanted to be unexpected. You're the president of the fucking United States, you cunt.
Right.
What do you need to be unexpected for? Just tell it like it is.
Well, it's a number that they floating around the public. I thought I'd just say it,
too. Oh, yeah, I just thought I'd just spout it out, because I'm stupid. I'm a stupid ass, is what I am.
It's widely said that there were some critical errors made in the early going, one of them being the disbanding of the military mm-hmm. and the debathification mm-hmm. of the power structure over there.
Debathification.
Do you regard those measures as having been a mistake?
No question, we made some
nice
edit.
Listen
mistakes.
To that.
For example, training up. I'd mentioned the training earlier that we trained one group of people to fight external threats and one to fight internal threats, and the internal threats weren't trained enough to fight the threats that actually existed. On the political front, we started off with a CPA that we felt should be there for 18 months and basically tell the Iraqis you know, what to do all the time, and yet changed because it was apparent that the Iraqis wanted sovereignty sooner and that they wanted to run their own government with elected officials. And so our strategy's been the same.
What?
Remove Saddam Hussein, remove a threat, and establish a democracy. Our tactics have changed depending upon the conditions on the ground.
That's funny.
That's what
funny
I'm saying, John.
Because in this 2000 running for election, he said he's not into nation building.
Huh.
So now he wants to place a democracy there.
Strategies
he just said
are
it.
Changing.
Just said it right there.
Well, you know, the first part of his answer, I could not understand at all.
I couldn't.
Internal,
what
external.
Saying.
What the hell are you talking about? And then a CPA was over there telling the Iraqis what to do, but they didn't want to listen to him. A CPA, John, is that a certified public accountant? Why is Bush putting a certified public accountant in Iraq telling him what to do?
No, it's a certified politician asshole.
I mean, I just don't understand this chimp at all. And finally, it's biting him in the ass. Yeah. Finally.
What worries you most about Iraq and the potential outcome?
We lose our nerve.
Nice edit.
We can't be defeated militarily. And that the enemy has got the capacity to and the willingness to kill innocent people, and those pictures get on our TV screens, and Americans say, well, we're not making any progress. We can't get there. Let's get the boys out before we complete the mission.
Get the boys out.
It's not going to happen so long as I'm the president. But that's what worries me the most, that we forget the stakes of the war on terror and that we lose our nerve.
Oh, my
cunt,
God.
Man. As long as he's president, we're going to be there, John.
That's great.
Because it's not going to happen because this fucking guy is clueless. And it's all about this macho bullshit that he never could attain when he was the head cheerleader for Yale University. You know what I'm saying? So now he's got to do it as the president of the United States. We can't be beat. We can't be beat. We will never lose. What a cunt. And killing innocent people. Who's killing innocent? He mentioned 30,000 Iraqis. They were all guilty?
Yeah. Because
they died, John? Is that why?
I guess.
Cocksucker.
We
got anything else?
We can't forget our troops, though, man.
We can't, though.
Those, you know, they're over there fighting their ass off just to stay alive. And, of course, you don't want to be somewhere where you think like you're fighting for nothing. So they have to think that they're fighting for something. And it's just, unfortunately, the message that people like Bush and his administration is anybody who dissents from his idealism, they say we're unpatriotic. When we are the most patriotic, we think they should be here protecting our shores, not the shores of some fucking Iraqis who should be fighting for their own democracy. Because it's sweeter when you earn it yourself.
No doubt. And he removes Saddam from power, let him fight for it, and you would hope that the best people come forward, but that's not always the case, right?
No.
So, but they want to stay the course, and we want to be there until victory. Well, can you
what
fucking define victory for us, you cocksucker? We've been waiting.
Well, when we win.
Yeah, when we win. Of course, it'll be apparent when we win.
When there's democracy and freedom restored.
One last country, Iran.
Yeah, Iran's a real threat. You might remember, I called it part of the axis of evil for a reason. I'm concerned about a theocracy that has got little transparency.
You should talk.
A country whose president has declared the destruction of Israel as part of their foreign policy. And a country that will not listen to the demands of the free world to get rid of its ambitions to have a nuclear weapon.
So what do you do?
Well, we continue to work the diplomatic front.
What's your objective?
My objective is what I said in my second inaugural address. Dan Tierney. And
Dan Tierney, who's he?
My view is that a peaceful world is one in which democracies live side by side. Democracies are peaceful countries, and I also believe in the universality of freedom.
Universality.
And
therefore,
so for the current rulers of that country?
I would hope they'd be wise enough to begin to listen to the people and allow the people to participate in our
what
government.
What people? Him? Cocksucker. Who, first of all, who's Dan Tierney? And who's Dan Tierney, John? Who is that? I don't know who that is.
Well, I wish he would just pronounce nuclear correctly.
Right. That's a great clip nuclear. Because he pronounces nuclear.
Dope.
He talks about a theocracy, and what we're becoming, John. The United States is becoming this stupid Christian theocracy, but he's denouncing it over in Iraq. And you know, even if we get out of there 10 years from now, it's going to become a theocracy.
Well, you know, speaking of which, I went back and in the last podcast talked about Bill O'Reilly's War on Christmas, mm-hmm. which he's... going off on from John Gibson's book, which is titled the same thing, and it's all about the left and all that stuff. But this is one of the guys that helps catapult the propaganda. Mm-hmm. And where are you?
I'm over here, man.
Hello.
Yeah,
I'm here, man.
Here's what he had to say.
Jack Mayerhofer, Springfield, Massachusetts, says, O'Reilly, I see the new Fox definition of fair and balanced means interviewing DNC Chief Jerry McAuliffe at both conventions. Well, right you are, Mr. Mayerhofer. Newt Gingrich appeared with us at both conventions, so did Mr. McAuliffe. What's the beef, sir?
Did you hear who he was addressing?
Yeah, he was addressing Jack Mayerhofer.
Right.
Jack Mayerhofer, Springfield, Massachusetts, says, O'Reilly, I see the new Fox definition of fair and balanced.
What a dick. He's so stupid.
I just
stupid.
Wanted to get that in there.
Stupid ass. Do we have any more Bush clips?
Yeah,
Phil
but it's
chomping
too long.
At the bit.
It's too long.
Just one more, man. One
it's
more.
It's 4 minutes long.
Pick one.
It's a confession.
Oh, no, not the confession.
That's it.
So you've gone through all the
every one of them.
Brit Hume ones?
Yes. We're at okay. 41.
All right. Well, let's just get to a couple of quick notes. And if you want to know, we have a worldwide audience,
John. I want
to
go to bed.
But this president, the Patriot Act, the
Bears
Senate
win.
Said, F you, we're not going to renew the Patriot Act. Which has the president all been out of fucking shape? Because the Patriot Act took away our civil liberties,
a
John.
A complicated transaction.
It attacked our constitutional rights. But then what does the a-hole W. Chimp do after this? He goes on... live, on air, and he says, well, yeah, I've been wiretapping American citizens.
And that's nothing new.
The New York Times, Los Angeles Times, and the Washington Post have all led with President Bush's acknowledgement that he ordered the National Security Agency, that's the NSA, John, and I've heard they're worse than the CIA, to forego warrants and eavesdrop on some U.S. citizens making calls overseas. Bush, who made the admission during his unusually long weekly radio address, he likes to keep it short because it's hard for him to read, also forcefully criticized senators who voted to block the reauthorization of the Patriot Act.
President Bush is a dumb F.
President Bush decided to confirm the program's existence and combine that with a demand for the reauthorization of the Patriot Act to put critics on the defensive by framing it as a matter of national security, John.
Do you have a rumor?
Not as a matter of civil liberties, which is what this is, if I can spit that out. Thank you very much. Also, Bush called the Constitution a goddamn piece of paper. Did you hear this, John?
No.
Last month, the Republican congressional leaders filed into the Oval Office to meet with the President renewing the controversial USA Patriot Act. GOP leaders told Bush that his hardcore push to renew the more onerous provisions of the act could further alienate conservatives still mad at the president from his botched attempt. What attempt has he had that's not botched, John, to nominate White House Counsel Harriet Myers to the Supreme Court?
You know what O'Reilly says about him.
No, what does he say?
President Bush is a dumb F.
And I would agree with Bill O'Reilly for once. Here's what President Bush had to say. I don't give a goddamn, Bush retorted. I'm the president and the commander-in-chief. Do it my way. Stop throwing the Constitution in my face, Bush screamed back. It's just a goddamn piece of paper.
You don't give a shit, you piece of shit.
So this motherfucker is completely out of control. So the Senate voted down his wanting to renew the Patriot Act. And somebody leaked that he was investigating U.S. citizens.
What the fuck?
Going around, skirting the courts, John, and just declaring illegal wiretaps.
What a dick.
Okay, so President Clinton gets a blowjob in the Oval Office, and there's like a fucking federal case.
Yeah.
Pun intended. The W illegally skirts around the Constitution. Is somebody going to take this MF-er to court or what? For violating people's rights. It's goddamn ridiculous, John.
Totally.
Goddamn ridiculous.
You heard it here on TTN.
No doubt.
AKC's TTN.
That's where I heard it.
Well, I think we got to get to Phil because we're at 45 there, Scott.
Definitely got to get to Phil.
All right.
And Phil's got some stuff to do. Hold on.
Well, I'm ready whenever you are.
John, I'm fixing to fuck you in the ass.
Now, with your award-winning TTN News, Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Thank you, John. And before I get to the news tonight, I'd like to, if you would, record this audio for our favorite podcast, and it's my one of my favorites, Punky, over in the UK. They sent an email to me. Well, actually, they sent it to Scott, and he forwarded it to me. And I've been practicing all week, and it's just a very quick clip that I need to read so that Punky can drop it into their next podcast, if you will. So whenever you're ready, John, I need complete silence.
You fucker! You fucking bitch!
Because I've been practicing. Are you ready, John?
Yeah.
All right, then. I'll count this out for somebody, whoever in post-production, to cut it out and send it to Bunky. 3, 2, 1. You've been listening to another pile of drivel from the makers of Punky. If you would like to nominate a twat or indulge in Tony's revenge, please email tony@alcohol.com. Next story, John. If you would like to suggest a band to be on the show, have an idea for the word of the week, or have a general inquiry regarding people and groupies, I need to start that over. 3, 2, 1. If you would like to suggest a band to be on the show, have an idea for the word of the week, or have a personal inquiry regarding groupie application forms or otherwise, email paulieb@lastminutecomedy.com. And finally, John, please remember to vote Punky by listening to Podcast Alley or heading straight to Punky's dedicated website, punkyradio.com, and clicking on the link. I'm Phil McCracken Whitcomb with AKC Total Talk Nonsense News.
Is that it?
Yes, I'm sure they'll be able to use that. Trump's like that. Yes.
All right.
Well, let me get a drink first.
All right.
What the fuck?
Thank you. I'm ready for the news, whatever you are, John. I'm sorry for that segue.
What are you doing?
You seem perturbed.
What are you doing? Do you have any money?
No, I do not.
Do you want me to play it over again?
If you would, that would be outstanding.
Now, with your award-winning TTN News, Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Thank you again, John.
Click.
And let me get to the news. Man pulls knife on a convenience store manager. Oh, man. Is dismayed to discover that the store manager is a martial arts expert. Do you want karate?
Hiya!
A Modesto convenience store manager took matters into his own hands during an attempted robbery, not only forcing the would-be robber out of the door, but helping police catch him. On November 21st at about 10:30 in the evening, Edward Petruzzi was working alone at the Quick Stop store in Lomana Avenue. The man came in, picked up some beer, and waited by the counter while the other customers left. The man then pulled a knife on Petruzzi.
You want to fuck
Unbeknownst to the robber, Petruzzi was an expert in martial arts. He assumed a ready stance, John. Then grabbed a pair of scissors and box cutter from under the counter and told the man, "Bring it on." Petruzzi said the man dropped the beer and fled. Petruzzi wasn't about to let the man get away. He gave chase, literally knocking the would-be thief to the store's front door.
You lack discipline.
Next story, John. Another clerk story, John. Clerk softens robber with a bit of pepper spray, then goes for the win with a baseball bat.
Well, that hit the spot.
This is out of Milwaukee. The search continued Friday for the man who tried to rob the Dragonfly store on Brady Street. The man came into the clothing store, said he was armed and demanded money. But the owner was prepared and nailed him in the face with pepper spray.
You are a bitch!
He looked surprised.
He just looked at me like, what? I don't think he was anticipating it at all, said the store owner.
I'm fixing to fuck you in the ass.
The store owner then followed the man out of the store with a baseball bat, caught him, and beat him over the head severely. Next story. Bouncer kills drunken... Next story. Bouncer kills drunken patron with a roundhouse kick for insulting his mother.
Ooh.
What movie was that in with Patrick Swayze, John? Do you remember? With the roundhouse kick? Roadhouse? Was that Roadhouse?
Yeah, no, yeah.
I'm a big fan of Roadhouse. But this is in Australia. A Brisbane nightclub bouncer on trial for murdering a patron may have been taunted by the victim seconds before the fatal attack, a court heard yesterday.
Oh.
Crown prosecutor Peter Feeney told the jury in his opening address that the Cottingham was overheard to say to Hutchings, I fucked your mother. Mr. Feeney said Hutchings asked Cottingham what he had just said. And when Cottingham repeated, I fuck your mother, it would be alleged that Hutchings kicked him in the fast, sharp blow to the head. Shortly or thereafter, Cottingham fell to the ground dead, John. Next story.
That's my kick sounds.
And I think you've already covered this today, but I will just repeat the story. Scientists discover white skin is the result of a genetic defect. Lack of rhythm, still blamed on nurture. Next story. Manchu's co-worker.
Did you say blamed on nurture?
I don't know what I said, John. We'll have to play it back. Give me the Back to the Future sound effect.
What?
The Back to the Future sound effect.
What's that? Oh, that's the Back to the Future?
Next story, John. Scientists discovered white skin as a result of a genetic defect. Lack of rhythm, still not blamed on nurture. Next story, John. Man sues coworkers who won lottery because they failed to show up for work to buy the tickets on the day they won.
Did you say nurture?
Yes. Seven workers at a California medical lab who shared the $350 million mega lottery millions are being sued by a coworker. Jonathan De La Cruz said he wants a share of the pot. In the lawsuit, he claims he had always been part of the group when they bought lottery tickets before, but he was off work that day when they bought the winning ticket. He said the group had an oral agreement that everyone would be included when they pooled their money to buy the tickets. The winners claim that the winners said his claims are total talk nonsense. Next story. Chanel drops Kate Moss for Lindsay Lohan, apparently not realizing they're just trading one coked out whore for another, John. Next story. Lawyer puts video camera in office bathroom to catch pot smokers. Lawyer Larry Gold says he had a good reason to install minicabs in the bathroom of his law office, where his three secretaries are women. People were smoking pot in the office bathroom, he said, and he wanted to catch the culprit. The camera caught a secretary using the toilet. She spotted the camera and went to Barticello Police. They charged Gold, a lawyer since 1989, with three counts of unlawful surveillance and a felony. Gold took the stand in his own defense as his lawyer. Henry Sean guided him. Gold broke down in tears, John, as he talked about losing 80% of his clients after the arrest.
Check it out.
I knew I was going. What I was doing was risky. There was a chance someone could go into the bathroom and would see their rear end or genitals, he said. He said that they should have looked for a better camera, one that would have shown the entire bathroom. I was selfish by not thinking about the potential consequences, Gold said.
Next story. Lance Armstrong says he's a victim of a French witch hunt. Do you know who Lance Armstrong is, John?
Yeah, he rides a bike.
Yeah, he rides a bike, and he won the last seven Tour de France's.
Wow.
Anyway, Lance Armstrong says he's a victim of the French witch hunt.
No.
In other news, French claiming that Armstrong is made of wood and weighs the same as a duck.
What?
Next story, Mariah Carey to restaurant waiter. The meal was so thrilling, I just wet myself. Mariah Carey made an embarrassing gaffe. Is that gaffe? During a recent visit to a French restaurant,
Guffaw,
a prankster pal told the singer that the French phrase
se repas etat si extant que ja mi sut fas desus meant that a meal was wonderful. I have to come here again. Unfortunately, when Mariah used her newfound French vocabulary to thank some waiters, she was really telling them that meal was thrilling. I just wet myself.
Oh my God.
A source told the Daily Star Mariah wanted to impress the waiters by speaking their language, but she couldn't understand why they looked so shocked whenever she spoke to them. Next story, wow. John.
Wow.
Laws requiring cats to be spayed or neutered gets first passage. Your dog is thinking, first they came for the cat's testicles, and I said nothing. Next story. Brits being terrorized by thugs shoving live sturgeon through their mall slots in the middle of the night. I meant to say male, John. Half asleep, Lana Brighton thought there was something fishy going on when she went downstairs to find something wriggling on our hallway carpet. But she was left completely baffled when she took a closer look to see what it was and discovered a live 10-inch sturgeon, John.
Damn.
Lana, 27, said she was amazed to find the fish in her home. We rang the RSPCA, but they told us they don't come out for fish, Miss Perry said. We haven't got a clue where it came from. Both the cats were not outside at 6 a.m. and the fish had no injuries. Mrs. Brighton also checked the downstairs toilet and letterbox, but could find no other evidence where the fish had come from. One theory is that Yobs, who had vandalized ponds in the area, may have pushed the fish through the letterbox in a bizarre prank. Next story, fuck John. Face. Oh, this just in. This is just off the wire. Do we have a special report just off the wire, John? A sound effect for... There we go. Justin.
This Justin, John.
There is a drinking culture in rugby. Next story, John. Women who thought she had a problem with water pipes turned out it was just a naked guy who broke into her home. Whoa. A plumbing problem at a Spokane home turned out to be a naked man, John. Police say a woman who thought she was having a problem with the water pipes beneath the floor called the water department. Employees found the basement barricaded, and when they determined there was somebody behind the door, they called police. Police broke through the door, found a naked man, and took him into custody. They searched the basement and found no clothing for the man. They also found that a pipe had been broken and repaired. The man was then booked into jail for investigating burglary.
Slow down, I'm gonna spurt.
On his way to the police investigation car, the man kept yelling, AKC Total Talk Nonsense Forever! I'm King Heedley, goddammit! I'm King Heedley! Next story.
I should remember that, right?
Yes, you should remember okay. that. Next story. Howard Stern poses for photo op, pretending to bid farewell to his fans that no longer exist. This is out of New York, John. A free ride for Howard Stern fans and Friday. Stern, a New York radio fixture for 20 years and host of the syndicated show for 12 million daily listeners, bid farewell to his fans with a final show on terrestrial radio January 9th. Stern will then make his move to satellite radio, where his once free speech will cost listeners $12.95 a month.
Damn.
And the last story, damn. John. Britney Spears is the number one for three of the last 4 years, upended last year by the search for American Idol. I guess I didn't cut out the... let me start over, John. Next story, and this is the last story, John. Britney Spears ranks as Yahoo's most searchable for celebrity this year. Other items in search rankings, Shank, Cletus, Trailer, Double Wide, and Cheetos. But damn. Britney won out. Britney Spears reclaimed the top spot on Yahoo's annual list of the most searched for terms on the internet.
Hurt by Cheetos.
With all 10 top positionings. That's homoerotic, John. Coming from the... Excuse me. from the world of entertainment. It's like I just swallowed some jism, John. Spears has been number one for three of the last 4 years. Upended last year. By the search for American Idol. The list shows us that people are fixated on activities for pop culture, said Eric Gunther, guru of what Yahoo calls its Buzz Index. Rounding out the top 10, John, in order are 50 Cent. I'm sorry, 50. Can you pronounce that for me, John?
50.
50. Cartoon Network, Mariah Carey, Green Day, Jessica Simpson, Paris Hilton, Eminem,
Karaya and Lindsay Lohan. Who the hell's Karaya?
I don't know.
And Lindsay Lohan.
Karaya.
And that's the news, John.
All right, thanks, Phil. Again,
thanks, Phil.
Here, AKC Total Talk Nonsense with Phil McCracken Whitcomb. We'd like to thank you for coming again. Sorry to make you wait outside so long, Phil. You've been listening here to John and Scott on AKC's Total Talk Nonsense, episode 34, part 3. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And we're going to have to say goodbye to Phil.
Oh, I got one question for Phil. Why does Phil?
Yes, Scott.
Why do you always address John? John's in the other room. I'm sitting right next to you, but you always address John. You never say John and Scott. You say John. John this, John that. I'm getting a little pissed off by that. You know what I'm saying, John?
Yeah.
Did you notice that too?
Yeah, I've noticed it. What's up with that, Phil? Huh? I don't care. I mean, I like he addresses me only.
Well, I really haven't thought about it before. I really don't have an answer for your question, Scott, and I'm sorry if I've offended you in any way, but I will continue to address John because he seems to be the producer, which is a little bit more important than your job as co-host, because he controls the microphones and he controls the sound bites that are played. So I need to stay on John's good side. That's why. I guess that's why, John. And
no, Scott.
I'm sorry. See, even when I'm addressing Scott, I address John because you don't exist to me. Scott.
He's trying to undress Scott.
Well, that sucks, Phil. That totally sucks.
Talk sucks.
I don't exist to you. Yeah, that's
fuck.
Nice. You fuck
John,
face.
I'm fixing to fuck you in the ass.
Let me digress. An honor to
get
be here at any time, but I guess I'm more attracted to John, if you must know. But I'm going to go now.
Shut up.
To go.
All right. See you later.
All right, then. Thank you.
I'm gonna go now.
All right. Get out.
Fuck you.
Bye.
You fuck ass.
Well, I don't think that was very nice
at
all.
Yeah, right.
That cocksucker.
Wait, let's listen if you start in this car.
No.
It is cold out there, John.
No.
Yeah, I think he's having a hard time.
No.
You gonna give him a ride?
No.
Give him a ride. Yeah, bend over. I'll drive. That's what I'll do.
No.
What the fuck is up with his car, man?
I don't know.
I think.
Now he's trying to start George's car.
I think.
What the fuck? Well, you might have to give him a ride home.
That's not going to happen.
All right. Well, this concludes episode 34, part 3. With John and Scott here at Total Talk Nonsense.
That's right, John.
We're out of here, right?
And you're John.
Yeah, I'm John.
And who am I?
You're Scott.
That's right.
All right. We're gone. Later.
You're listening to John and Scott. A Total Talk Nonsense.